like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
We're starting this off the way we kind of ended the first hour, but LeBron James, what can you say? It's a monumental achievement. There is no question about it. He just passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the all-time scoring list, and he, after a 14-foot fadeaway jumper.
Looking for James. He's got it. Coming to the end of the third quarter. LeBron James, a shot in history.
He got it. Stands alone. He passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But those saying that that makes him the greatest, well, the same people saying that are not saying Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the greatest. Scoring title is awesome. It's makes you one of the greatest of all time. But he's not the GOAT, specifically because of that. You can argue it for a lot of reasons, but that doesn't, oh, Brady scored the most points in the NBA. That doesn't stand alone to make you the GOAT. Jordan still has twice the amount of championships as LeBron James.
Yeah, and I think it's similar if you want to go, oh, what about titles? Then it should be Bill Russell. It's
like, right.
Well,
that's
nobody,
not, right.
Very few people would consider Bill Russell the GOAT, even
correct.
Though he has 11 rings.
I've always said this. It's not just about stats. It's not just about Super Bowls. You got to mix them together. Look at your wins. Look at your numbers. All that. All that comes together. LeBron, 3 championships, and, well,
3.5.
3.5. I always just say 3. And then this record, and he has a lot, he's up there a lot in the top, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, but all great, which makes him top 5. There's nothing to sneeze at. People think I hate LeBron James more than anything. Can't stand him. He's my least favorite player. I don't hate him, though. It's my least favorite superstar. I'll take watching Tom Brady and any of the superstars currently in the NFL, NBA, those guys are all better, in my mind, unless they're bad dudes. If you're a bad dude, then that obviously knocks you out of the running. Raiders grant Derek Carr permission to visit the Saints. Huh.
I think that could work.
Huh. He's been granted a visit with the Saints, according to Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. He's going to talk to him today at the Saints facility in Louisiana. It would be Carr's first known visit ahead of the Raiders' February 15th trigger date on his contract, by which $40.4 million of his salary becomes guaranteed. Think he'll end up there, or what was the Jets is another one we keep hearing?
Yeah, and I heard so the compensation is likely a third-round pick if they do end up trading for Derek Carr, so I think that's a good value for him.
So what does that mean for the Raiders then? What are they looking for quarterback? Is it going to be the guy that's going to the dark woods cabin and just black out for 4 days?
It is the black hole. So.
Is this why? He's trying to get his inner darkness and enter the black hole.
He is like Bane in The Dark Knight Rises.
It sounds...
He's trying to be molded by the darkness.
I think he is trying to be molded by the darkness. I think you're right. Kyrie Irving said there was a lack of transparency by the Nets front office. Boy, the Nets have just been a mess. And yet, they've got 30 wins. But the Steve Nash thing, the James Harden thing,
the Ben Simmons thing,
now the Kyrie Irving thing.
Now they're getting calls about KD, even though they say they don't want to trade him.
He said Kyrie Irving told Tim McMahon of ESPN, I just know I don't want to be places where I'm I know I want to be places where I'm celebrated and not just tolerated or just kind of dealt with in a way that doesn't make me feel respected. There were times throughout this process when I was in Brooklyn where I felt very disrespected. And my talent, I work extremely hard at what I do. No one ever talks about my work ethic, though. Everyone talks about what I'm doing off the floor, so I wanted to change that narrative, write my own story, just continue preparing in the gym. And now that I'm in Dallas, just focus on what it can control. Do you think Mark Cuban's going to be a good guy for Kyrie Irving? Because Mark Cuban, you know, I know he's not the head coach, but he kind of runs things there, right?
Does Kyrie kind of remind you of Antonio Brown?
Not quite.
In the sense of, like, the antics, and he's just doing these crazy things. And when he went with Tom Brady to Tampa Bay, he kind of got straightened out for a little bit until he took his shirt off at the Jets game.
Yeah.
Do you think a guy like Luka and Cuban
and Jason Kidd
can kind of bring Kyrie back down to earth a little bit, even though it's flat?
That's what the good. That's the hope. Is that you want to surround him? I don't know if they're a direct comparison, but there's some similarities. It does seem like once Kyrie got out of Cleveland, the weird stuff started happening for him. You know, his takes got a little bit more bizarre. He's a lot more vocal. Obviously, the COVID stuff, to be fair, he was on one side, and the people that were really going at him were on the other. He didn't want to get vaccinated. It was against his beliefs.
And that dynamic may be different in Texas than it is in
Europe. Sure, yeah. That one, again, never bothered me. The whole vaccination thing was a crazy sideshow of craziness, as we all kind of know. But it was the video that he shared, the anti-Semitic video that he put out.
Well, the link to a video that had mention of that.
Yes. And he didn't really, he kind of denounced it, but not really. He's kind of forced to, it sounded like. But yeah, I mean, there's similarities where he seems a little odd, a little different. But Antonio Brown, to me, was like, he just was unstable. He is just, and he's, as you see with his social media, all that stuff, he's either really, really unstable or he's kind of just an evil dude. Because the crap he put out there about Tom Brady and stuff, that's just mean stuff, man. That's just awful. But we'll see if this works for Kyrie Irving as he joins Luka, Jason Kidd, and Mark Cuban as they're going to try to make a real run at a title. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. You asked me during the break about Steph Curry and players like that. Where do they rank in the top 10? Well, here's ESPN's from their 74. Then what was it? No, it was 76. Are we on 76 now? Are they going to put out their 76th pretty soon?
Yeah, last year was the 75th anniversary.
Okay. I think Joker's going to... He didn't crack the last one, did he?
No, he wasn't in the 75.
He's got to be in it now.
Should be.
So their top 10, and it's still the same as it was because that's not going to change. These players are all retired. Michael Jordan, number one. They have LeBron number two. Of course ESPN's going to have LeBron as close to the top as they could. I just don't think they couldn't feel good about themselves if they put LeBron over Michael Jordan. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is three for them. Bill Russell, Magic Johnson, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, Tim Duncan is up there. Tim Duncan is an underrated guy maybe a little bit in terms of those GOATs. Kobe is nine, and then it's Shaq. That's their top 10. I tend to agree with the top, with how they're top, like who's in their top 10. Because I Jordan, Kobe are my one and two. And again, some of that's biased because I watched Kobe from A to Z. Jordan, I watched like late in his, I was young watching him.
Kobe's kind of always like the odd man out for some reason. And I don't get it because.
Five titles.
He was the best player in that, you know, span late 90s into the early 2010.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think there's more of a conversation between Kobe and LeBron than there is MJ and LeBron.
I always thought so, too. Those two were more comparable.
At least in the last 20 years.
As far as those debates go. I mean, Kobe's top five in scoring. Jordan's not even top. Jordan's five. Kobe's above Jordan. You know, you've got a lot of, you know, Kobe's right there in that conversation when you talk scoring and titles. He's top four all time in scoring, and he won five titles. So, I don't, where's the argument with, like, some people are like, no, LeBron's the GOAT, there's no debate. there absolutely is a debate, and LeBron James is not the GOAT. He just isn't. It does take championships mixed with stats, with numbers. Let me, you think the scoring thing means a lot? Like, a lot? Let me tell you who the number nine, the ninth all-time scorer in league history is. Carmelo Anthony. Tell me that it means them. I mean, it means a lot, but
it means,
it
definitely
it's
means
not the
something,
end-all, be-all.
And there's credit for it, but your job is to score. You're very, very, very good at your job, so, you know, I'll give you credit for that, but it's not the end-all, be-all determining factor for who the best player is, because like you said, nobody was calling Kareem the GOAT.
No. Or Karl Malone. Karl Malone's not in that conversation. He's number three. Dirk's not in that conversation as far as GOATs. He's sixth. Moses Malone's a great player, but he's not in our conversations. So there's a lot of players on that points list that are not the GOATs. I mean, I don't think they have the three-point line back when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was doing it. LeBron James also leads the is a historic leader in turnovers.
Hmm.
He's number one there. He owns that record. According to NBA.com, he has 4,926. That is almost 400 more than Karl Malone's. Then it's Russell Westbrook. Then it's John Stockton, who had the ball in his hands all the time. Then it's Kobe. Jason Kidd, again, guys that have the ball in their hands, try to get assists, have turnovers. Moses Malone, Isaiah Thomas, Hakeem Olajuwon, James Harden. That's not, I mean, Kobe's in that list, so, but I'm just looking, I'm like, not a lot of the greats are in that. The great greats are in that list.
I think scoring lends itself more to you're the only guy that can be effective on your team.
Yeah.
Like with Jordan, yeah, he's going to put up 30 plus, 35 some nights. Scottie's going to do 25 plus. And, you know, Steve Kerr or whoever the, you know, extra pieces are, they're going to get their points. So they're, it's not just Michael scoring 50, 60 points every single night.
Right. LeBron James is fifth all-time in free throws attempted, too. Again, these are all just interesting numbers.
Yeah, when you watch the games, he gets a lot of foul calls.
He gets to the line a lot. He charges in like a bull in a china shop.
He'll throw a tantrum if he doesn't get it.
And he does. He's also top 10, the only current player in the top 10 in games played. He played in 1,410 games. He's about to pass Jason Terry. He will pass Kevin Willis this year. He will not pass Kevin Garnett. There's less than 52 games left, right?
Yes.
So he will not pass Kevin Garnett this year. If he plays next year, he will pass Kevin Garnett, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Dirk. He will pass. I'm just looking at how many games are left this year, Angel?
There's like 20 or so after the All-Star break.
So 25, 26?
Week, so, yeah, 25, 26.
So let's say he plays in 20 of those. Is that fair to say? He'll play in 20?
Yep.
Let's say next year he'll play how many out of an 82-game season?
Probably under 50.
So let's just go 50. If he does just 50 games, he will be sixth all-time in games played. It's something to put out there, man. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played in a lot of games too, but Jordan's not top 10 in games played. Far from it, actually. Kobe's not top 10 in games played. Larry Bird is not top 10 in games played. Magic Johnson is not top 10 in games played. Brady, you're hurting LeBron James because he's durable and played?
No, if you play that long,
I'm just saying you're
going to have more stats than everybody.
Dude, Tom Brady has a lot of numbers because he played for so long. He's the GOAT. He is the GOAT, but he's also going to have a lot more records because he played. But Emmett Smith, dude. Frank Gore, is he top five running back of all time? No.
No.
But he's like, where is he as far as NFL rushing records? I mean, he's right up there. I thought he was, but like you don't think Frank Gore, but he played for a very long time in the NFL.
So he is number three.
He's number three all time.
behind Walter Payton and Emmitt Smith.
Right. It's something that just is a part of the argument. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Texter here from the 970. LeBron is under 500 in the finals. He's 4-6. He can't be the GOAT. He brings up political topics after he's had a bad game. And listen, I can put that stuff aside. You know my philosophy. I don't want to see politics during the game. National anthem starts, inside the game, I don't want to see protests, whatever. But if you want to go do it in your post game, I can easily take the remote control and go away from it. But during the game, it's hard to do that if you want to watch the game. But that's still, it's still annoying, the way he goes about his business on that side of it. But yeah, he doesn't have 6-0. Jordan's 6-0 in the finals. And the dude took a year and a half off to go play baseball. And then just picked right up where he left off. It came back and was in the playoffs, and then the year after that, won three more titles.
And he had a hit movie with the Looney Tunes.
And his movie was good. Dixon, look at that. This is Hooligan crossover. Two Hooligans reffing out in Weld Central last night. McLean and Dixon. Worlds collide.
How many fouls?
Who called the most fouls? Dixon's a guy who calls a lot of fouls.
Really?
I would imagine. McLean's probably like, I'm going to
let him play.
Let him play a little bit. Dixon's probably calling foul. Eastside Chris. Brady, LeBron was one and done in high school, therefore NBA length of time equals points. So was Kobe. What do you mean one and done in high school?
Well, he didn't go to college.
One and done. Was one and done in high school mean? You're saying he only went to 1 year of high school?
Or 1 year of high school basketball.
I'm pretty sure he played more years than one in high school basketball.
So. You don't become the most coveted draft pick out of high school.
No, he played several years, I think. Yeah, he had a long career. He's had a long career. But, I mean, Jordan won 6 titles and took a year and a half off to play baseball. That does add to it. Yeah, I'm intrigued with this new Rodgers thing. Do you wear a loincloth, have a mat, a bearskin blanket, and a bucket? How do you eat? How do you drink fluids? Wow, we could have gotten this guy. Russ looks good now. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Russ did something similar. Not as drastic, but a alternative method of recovery or physical rehabilitation.
Do you think he's wearing a loincloth?
I could see that. I could see him Tarzan.
Does he get to listen to music? Or is it shut off from the world?
It's probably just sounds and tones that trigger your brain.
As far as eating, there is a room that someone is going to shove food and drink into an insert into the house. That will not show any light. I don't know. Or somebody will. How will he know when they do it? Because there's going to have to be light that goes into the house when the food is distributed, correct?
Or if he's in a separate room.
But then
they'll bring it in, and then they'll leave, and then he can go in that room and grab the food and go back.
So weird. So what do they... Will they tell him that? Hey, Aaron, your pizza's here.
It probably has it scheduled with them, like... He won't know the time.
He won't know the time.
At this time for you guys.
Who's going to come get him? Someone's going to have to come get him because he's not going to look at a clock. And you can't just glance down and be like, how long have I been here? Only 30 minutes. Crap. Not off to a great start.
He could lose his mind.
There's a darn good chance that he could.
Like, when they put people in solitary confinement, it's sometimes for a reason, but other times they come out of it not the same person.
No, I don't know.
And I guess that's his method is, I don't want to be the same person after this.
It's a very weird thing, dude. It's weird. 24 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, let's talk about the Nuggets' big night last night. Michael Porter Jr. just had himself a game. Joker had a triple-double in the first half. So we'll talk about that coming up next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKI.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
.146 to .112. The Nuggets took out the Minnesota Timberwolves. Not quite fully forced there, fully healthy. Jamal Murray was out due to knee soreness, but they still just destroyed the Timberwolves. 49-19 after one. Michael Porter Jr. had 19 in the first, ended with 30. Joker had a triple-double, 20 points, 16 assists, and 12 boards. Most of that damage was done in the first half. Joker had, I think, 18 points in the first, so he came in and got one bucket, and like a few minutes later, he's out the door. Just an overwhelming domination by the Nuggets, but no Bones Highland.
No Bones, no Jamal Murray. We saw Bruce Brown kind of tweak his ankle a little bit. That's a little concerning, but going into the All-Star break, get a chance to rest up some of these guys. Do they not like Minnesota? And was there something about their last game without their starters that kind of lit a switch under them?
And Minnesota says they want the Nuggets in the first round.
Oh, I want Minnesota too.
I do too. I would much rather have Minnesota in the first round.
Love a little four-game warm-up.
Yeah. So before the All-Star break, they have four games. They're at Orlando tomorrow night, at Charlotte Saturday, at Miami on Monday, and then home against Dallas. Circle that one. And then they're off until Thursday, February 23rd. So four games remaining before the All-Star break. I think the quest should be, obviously you want to win them all, but go ahead and get to 40 wins. Get to 40 wins before the All-Star break. Grab that number one seed. That is the most important thing, right? Or do you think the Nuggets, Malone has been known to scheme a little bit at the end to try to get the better matchup. If you're in danger of playing Golden State, do you see the Nuggets pulling back the reins a little bit, maybe by the time we get to March 31st when there's a handful of games left?
It's possible, but with this play-in tournament, you don't really know who your opponent would be until that first weekend wraps up, and then you'll get, you know, if you're the one, you'll get eight. If you're two, you'll get seven. So just looking at that group of teams right now in the Western Conference and the play-in tournament, it'd be Golden State, New Orleans, Minnesota, and Utah. I like all three of those matchups other than Golden State.
Yeah, Golden State scares me. 31 minutes after the hour, the Buffs got a win over the weekend. It's been a really good week, taking Saturday into these first few days. Into the week, because CSU won last night, the Bears won on Monday night, the Nuggets destroyed the Timberwolves, and you got a dub from the Buffs over the weekend, too. We'll talk to Mark Johnson about that on the other side, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
The Colorado Buffaloes have now won two in a row. They took care of Cal last Thursday, and then they really ran away against Stanford in that second half. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. Mark, you're seeing, I mean, these, especially Tristan Da Silva and KJ Simpson, those two guys are really starting to get into some takeover modes in these last few games.
Well, one has. KJ played well in that one game. Now, the previous, five or six games, boy, he'd been awful quiet. So, yeah, I think right now Tristan Da Silva, he is playing at a first-team All-Pac quite a level. I said the other night in the air, and I don't think I'm going out on a thin limb here. I think he's playing as well as virtually anybody in the country right now. And if the Buffs' record was a little bit better, he'd be playing at a Player of the Year kind of level. I think. I don't think he's going to get that because of the Buffs are going to finish in the middle of the pack in the Pac-12. But he's been unbelievable, and he's playing with a great confidence right now. KJ hit a young point guard hit a slump for about a half dozen games. I thought we saw signs of him maybe coming out in the Cal game, and he certainly did in the Stanford game where he looked a little bit more like KJ. And so that's just part of that learning process he's going through. But when those two guys, Brady, are playing at that level, and they're kind of the Batman and Robin, if you will, of the Buffaloes, that's a great foundation for them. When they're playing at that kind of level, I mean, they had 46 points, I think, between the two of them. I mean, they can win a lot of ball games because of that. You've got to have two guys playing at a high level. Both those guys, you know, at least were in that ball game, and you expect that moving forward.
Yeah, and scoring in different ways, too. Tristan was, what, 3 of 4 from the three-point line against Stanford, but KJ getting to the free-throw line. Yep. Those are big, as you said, when you are kind of in off and on slumps or whatever, getting out of that, a lot of times the best cure for that is just to get to the free throw line. He did that 11 times.
Yeah, and find ways to, you know, manufacture points, right? McKinley Wright, and Scott and I talked about this on the broadcast the other day. McKinley Wright was genius at that as he got older in his career. You know, McKinley would have games where maybe the ball wasn't falling for him. So what would he do? He'd go in and, you know, he's one of the best 6 foot and under offensive rebounders I'd ever seen. He'd go in and grab a rebound, and he'd get a put back inside, or he'd drive to the hoop and, you know, get a foul and those kind of things. And, you know, then he'd end up with 7 rebounds and 7 assists and maybe have 11 points, but he'd get to the foul line and go, you know, 6 of 7 or something and get a couple of buckets. You know, that's just the way he was. So KJ's learning that aspect of, and I know Tad's been talking with him a lot when he was kind of in the middle of this thing about, hey, do other things, play defense, get back to your fundamentals there, rebound, get a steal or two, get other guys involved, you know, get to the free throw line by being aggressive with the basketball, and you can kind of work your way through a slump. And I've seen players over the course of time, you know, initially young guys, when they get into a slump, they'll start to panic a little bit, right? And then what happens, they start jacking the ball more. They're throwing it up more, thinking, I got to shoot my way out of this. Well, that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to, you know, do the other things on a high level, take good shots. Don't start forcing things because you can take bad shots. Take good shots because you have taken, literally probably for these guys, millions of repetitions. Eventually that ball is going to fall again. But work your way through it by sticking to what you know. And I think that's probably what he's done here and why we saw him kind of start to come out of it, I think, the last couple of games.
Well, see if the Buffs can, you know, what is there, 6 games left? We're already getting to that point. Mark, at 14-11, probably a stupid question, but where are they in terms of chances to get an at-large bid?
Oh, there's no chance.
There's no chance, even if they win out.
Yeah, well, if they win out, I suppose, you know, then they'd be, what, 20-11, and your net, I think the last time I checked, their net was about 70, I don't know, 72, somewhere in there. You know, you probably work, because considering who they're going to play, they're going to play Utah twice, you're going to play Arizona and UCLA. If you run the table on this thing, you know, sure, you're gonna have wins over a couple of top 10 teams, another top 50 team, in I think Utah's in the top 50, so probably is ASU, and so you're going to have some very high-level wins then, so that would put you right back in the conversation. But let's be honest, that's unlikely for that to happen. And so, yeah, I think if you're a Buff fan right now, what you're looking for is the NCAA tournament, barring a Rockies-like run, you know, at the end of the season here where they just go nuts like they did when they made a run of the World Series against Boston. You know, you're looking at the Pac-12 Conference Tournament for that.
It's just interesting because, you know, going back, and you and I have been having these conversations every week, there was a time where it just seemed like that's going to be easy for the Buffs to get an at-large bid. Back in late December, we were talking about it. But really, once we kind of crossed over into the new year, it's been a rocky road for them. So, Mark, what has been kind of that difference from the start of the season? Although they were inconsistent at the beginning of the season, too. I mean, they beat tough teams like Tennessee and Texas A&M, and then you'd see them to lose to some rough teams there. So it has been kind of inconsistent, but we're not seeing maybe some of those ultimate highs like we did in the A&M game and the Tennessee game.
Well, what changed is January 1, you get the conference play. Right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the level of competition, every single game is very high. You're dealing with programs that know programs. Everybody knows each other. All these coaches in the Pac-12 have scouted, you know, Tad Bowlen and the Buffaloes just like he scouted them. They know their tendencies. They know their systems. They know everything about it. That's why conference play changes everything. Once you get a conference play, everything then becomes different because there are no secrets once you get into conference play. And everyone knows each other. And so then it really comes down to execution. And the Buffs, their execution's been inconsistent this year. So, you know, here we sit right now. But, yeah, there was inconsistency certainly in the month of December. But I think it just gets magnified in the month of January then because of, and like I said, everything that we just mentioned about all the familiarity that goes on between these teams. And so then it really becomes down to, can you execute or not execute? And Colorado's execution has been very, very inconsistent here. And you know, let's hope they can find a little solution to that and have a strong finish to this and improve their seeding in the Pac-12 tournament, you know, and get in there and make some noise, because they're certainly capable, but we'll have to see if they're willing. Game in and game out.
Coming up next Saturday, Mark, is that right? Going up against Utah. That could be a tough one. What is Utah? They're getting close to the 20-win mark, I think, but that could be a tough battle.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They're awful good. They're one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league. They've been very good defensively. Carlson, their big guy inside, I think is playing at a very, very high level. He's a first-team all Pac-12 kind of guy, and so very good basketball team. And that's never been an easy place for Colorado to go. And so that won't be easy. Like I said, you've got them twice down the stretch. They play the last game of the season on March 4th against Utah. You know, after next week, after Saturday, then we're in Arizona State and Arizona on, I think that's Thursday and Saturday, I think, next week. And then you come home and you got three straight at home against the LA schools in Utah. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a huge challenge. But, you know, it is what it is. You've made your own bed. You know where you're at right now. And so go out and start to deal with it. Like I said, if they're playing, they've been good enough defensively, I think, through much of the season to keep themselves in game. If you notice, Brady, they haven't gotten blown out. You know, a lot of teams throughout the year are going to end up getting blown out at some point in time. Colorado's been consistent enough defensively where they haven't gotten beat in a lopsided game. I've said it at times. They play well enough to lose at different times. So the defense is solid. They generally rebound. They're first or second, I think, in the Pac-12 in offensive rebounding in terms of rebounding margin, or in the top three or four. So they play well enough to keep themselves in, but that offense has been up and down at different times. And, of course, the turnover bug, which you know, is on the offensive end as well. And that kind of then stops them from getting some wins at different times. They've got to be more consistent there. And I think if you have Tristan and KJ are playing well, as we were just talking about, if they can kind of continue to play at a high level, they've got a real good chance.
Mark, you know, at the beginning of the season, we said, okay, at the Buffs' best, we feel like they could beat maybe anybody, was pushing it, but, you know, you kind of got that sense. Maybe at their best, they can beat anybody. At their worst, they can lose to some teams where you're really scratching your head going, wow, how did that just happen? How do we feel today on February 8th? If they're at their best, can they beat Arizona? Can they beat UCLA?
Without question. I mean, you know, they've already got that win over, basically it was a home game for Tennessee. Tennessee, if you look at the net number, right, I think in the AP ranking, they're, what, like fourth or fifth, whatever they are. You know, net ranking, they're in that top two or three, I think, in the country right now. And so, yeah, they can play with anybody. They're still good enough and good enough defensively, and they rebound well enough where they can do that when the shots are falling. So, yeah, and the way Tristan Da Silva's playing right now, I mean, you've got that kind of anchor out there. You know what I loved about him the other night against Stanford? There was a couple of plays early, and, you know, it's early enough in the ball game. And it was in that first half, I think it was more better offense beating decent defense. That wasn't bad defense allowing good offense. But both teams shot over 50% in the first half. They were tied at 39 at the half. There were a couple of times early, and KJ didn't score much early. And so I think from Tristan's standpoint, he's thinking, okay, I'm not sure, you know, if Robin's going to bring me some points tonight, so is Batman. I'm going to have to take over. There were a couple of times he got the ball, and it's maybe down to 10 seconds left in the shot clock. And I think as a younger player, even early this season, he would have tried to create something and then pass the ball. And he's like, no, I'm keeping it right here. And he forced the issue and got a couple of buckets early. That means he's becoming an elite player. By the way, there was an NBA scout that was there. The scout and I both know. We talked to him after the ball game, and he told both of us, he said, I think Tristan Da Silva is becoming an NBA player.
Wow.
It'd be as skilled as he is. So his rise, the way he's maturing and growing, I think is a very good sign for Colorado.
Just another one in the mix for Tad Boyle. We're starting to get a lot of those these last few years, Mark. There's a lot of guys going on to make some noise in the NBA. Not just get into the NBA, but are actually pretty good players, guys like Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah, it was good to see. And, you know, Spencer McKinley got his first start the other night with Dallas after the trade went down. And Spencer's now with Brooklyn Nets, I guess, and, you know, with the trade and for Kyrie Irving, which is insane, by
right.
the way.
Oh,
why'd you want to bring that cancer into your franchise? I don't understand. But
yeah, I'll be curious to see how that one works out.
Yeah, but, you know, so I think you've got Tristan playing at an NBA level. He's turning him into that. I think KJ ultimately can play in the NBA. You're going to have Cody Williams in there next year who – you know, there are projections right now that for 2024 could be the number one or number two pick in the NBA draft. So, yeah, I mean, a little bit of talent on this team moving forward. But, you know, before then, you got to finish out this season and try and do so strongly here the next few weeks.
Mark, I was listening to your coach's show with Tad Boyle the other day, man. I really enjoy that show. I really enjoy you and Tad together. You guys ought to consider, you know, like a daily show at some point. When Tad says it's done, you guys could talk Buffs basketball for hours.
Well, I've told him before that when he finally hangs it up, maybe he can do like Gary and just join me on the broadcast or something.
Oh, that'd be great, man. That'd be awesome. I would love that.
Don't tell Wilkie I said that.
He was just thinking that. I was like, oh, well, maybe. I mean, that would be good, but not good. I don't know. I might feel awkward. All right, Mark, I know you're not the biggest NBA guy in the world, but I want to ask you our poll question. Yep. Where does LeBron James rank amongst the GOATs of the NBA? Is he one? Is he two? Is he top five? Is he top 10? Where do you, just from what you've seen, and you follow the NBA, I mean, you know enough about it. Who would you put up there?
Well, first off, I can never use the word goats as plural, right? There's only one goat.
Yeah, right.
You know, you can kind of talk in terms of Mount Rushmore kind of thing. And being the fact, you know, he's done something. I thought J.J. Redick the other day made a very compelling argument for LeBron James. In terms of, you know, people have always had criticism. LeBron has been polarizing at times, okay? And the thing is with LeBron, I try to separate the emotion of that from the reality of what he is as a player. He's unlike virtually anybody we've ever seen in terms of his size and his skill set and all that kind of stuff. He is very clutch. If you look, in fact, J.J. Redick threw out a number, I think he's got more, I think I've got this right, more made clutch buckets. And they define that as like last minute to the fourth quarter or in overtime, that kind of thing, than anybody in history. Now, part of that comes from longevity, because he's played, you know, he went there as an 18-year-old, has been playing now as, what, is he 38 right now? Thereabouts?
Yeah,
somewhere in that
something
range,
like
anyway.
That, yeah.
It's been 18, 19, 20 years. So longevity is going to play in that. But if you also look at his averages per game, he's up there at one or two in all of those categories. So he goes down as one of the greats of all time. I still, to this day, simply because I think of the change of play and the style of play, I still cannot unseat Michael Jordan. I just can't do it. He played in a very physical time period, and I've often thought to myself, if Jordan played today, forget about it. It'd be like a video game out there for him, right? Can't hand check anybody, can't put, you know, too much contact on anybody. You know, guys carrying the ball like they do and traveling like they do now drives me out of my mind. Where I think if you went the other direction and you took a lot of guys that we look at right now and you put them back in that era, I don't think their numbers would be nearly as great as they are now. So Jordan's still always going to be number one. I still think in terms of just pure physicality, you have to put Wilt Chamberlain. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to be there. I've always been a Magic and Bird guy. So I have a tough time differentiating. I still go Jordan number one, and then there's a group of, you know, eight or nine guys that are in that next group that I just say, listen, it's not a, it may not be a class your own, but the class they aren't, it doesn't take long to take a roll call, you know, and I put him in that group just behind Michael Jordan. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, I go back and forth. I probably have him in the top five, but he's not top three. You know, that's kind of where I sit with it. Mark, always appreciate you, my man. When do you guys get rocking and rolling this weekend?
It's a late one on Saturday night, 8 o'clock tip time there in Salt Lake City on the network, and 7:30 with the pregame.
All right, my man. Well, we'll talk to you next week. We'll see if the Buffs can make a little run here, make things interesting for them as we round out the season.
I'll take it if we can get it.
All right, my man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. All right, go vote. That's our poll question. I'm curious your thoughts. Where does LeBron James rank amongst the greatest of all time? Is he top 10? Is he top 5? Top 3? Outside the top 10? Or he is the GOAT? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back. We're going to have CSU men's assistant basketball coach Ali Farokmanesh on the program. Great guy. Awesome dude. And the Rams got a nice dub last night over Air Force. We'll talk to Ali coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Will it work out? Here are our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Game beer of the week, thanks to our friends over at On the Rocks Liquor. This one's from New Belgium Brewing, Oak Spire Bourbon Barrel Ale. Pick up selections from New Belgium Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-through or stop inside. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. That's On the Rocks Liquor. And join John, Tony, and the staff at On the Rocks Liquor for wine tasting coming up on Friday, a couple days away, 4 to 7. And spirit tasting on Saturday, 4 to 7, with folks from Heart Distilling. So always cool opportunities to try new stuff for free at On the Rocks Liquor off of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue, very close to Buffalo Wild Wings there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Awesome to see the Colorado State Rams get going. I mean, it's been a positive week, dude. It's been a really positive week for a lot of the teams that we cover here. You know, CSU needed a win in a very desperate way. They win 69-53 over Air Force.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a big one. And shorthanded, too. They had eight guys. Eight guys registered minutes last night. So compared to Air Force, who had 10 guys register minutes. I mean, that's a big difference. That's a difference. Ideally, you always want to have a backup for one of your starters. If you get tired, foul trouble, whatever. So they're playing shorthanded, no question about it. Isaiah Stevens was incredible. 20 points for him. He did all of that, 9 of 13. No free throws. Just very efficient for Isaiah. And then it was cool to see John Tonjay get going. 21 points for him. 2 of 3 from the three-point line, 9 of 14. Both guys, very efficient. And maybe that's something that'll spark this team. You know, the Rams have, they have to, basically, as we talked to Mark Johnson, you know, the Buffs, the Rams, the Cowboys are losing players too. I'll get to more of that on the other side. And the Bears all going to have to run the table in their conference tournament. Nobody's getting any kind of at-large bid or anything like that. So it's all going to be about how much momentum can you really gain in these last few games. And we'll see. It did seem like Air Force was kind of that low point for CSU when they lost 85-74. Score was a little bit worse than the game, or score was a little bit better than the actual game. And that was a low point for the Rams. And then they bounced back and beat UNLV. Then they lost 5 in a row. And you thought, oh, great, this team might curl up and just fizzle away. No, that was an important win to go down to beat Air Force. Now they got Boise State coming up on next week, actually, next Tuesday. So we'll talk to Ali Farouk Manesh coming up. Great guy. I love this coaching staff, and I know it hasn't been an ideal year for these guys, but last night probably had to feel really good to get that win. So we'll talk to Ali Farouk Manesh coming up next. Plenty to get into with the LeBron James debate, with more on the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic and the local college scene too. And we'll talk a little Broncos. They got a an offensive coordinator in mind. We'll talk about who that is on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.